This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm David Lazarus. You know, if there's anything the Money Crew cares about, it's helping you be the best manager of your moolah that you possibly can be. And that's why we like to pass the microphone each week to all of our peeps out in radio land to bring you into the show. A money peep. That's like, what, a meep? That sounds like something the Roadrunner would say.
Meep, meep.
Yeah, like that. Okay, anyway, let's move on. Our first caller is Jamie calling from Milwaukee. Hiya, Jamie.
Hi.
So what's your question, Jamie?
Well, I'm in a bit of a pickle ethically here. Consider me a new investor, and I'm in the process of opening a Roth IRA. And I keep getting sent these mutual fund options from my investment advisor. But, you know, in that bundle of investments in the mutual fund, each fund has at least a handful of companies that I, you know, in my personal day-to-day life kind of actively avoid. And I'm curious if there's any way that I can avoid these companies, you know, with my investments as well.
Jamie, what you're talking about here is what's known as socially responsible investing. In other words, you want to put your money into companies that you believe in and some mm-hmm. that you might not. For example, if you're a non-smoker, you might not want to put your money in with the tobacco industry. You might not want to put your money in with a defense company. You might not want to put your money in with a company that's into nuclear energy. I mean, am I getting it right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm facing here.
Yeah, and there's an entire cottage industry that has sprung up to address this. And historically, so-called SRI funds, socially responsible investing funds, they sort of lagged the broader market, the S&P 500, because they didn't really have the diversity of investments to weather the storm. So you slept better at night, but you didn't quite get a better return. I'm here to say, though, that's kind of changed a little bit. A lot of these funds have grown more diverse over time. They don't have the breadth of the S&P 500, but they might have 100, 200, maybe even 300 companies that you can live with a little bit. And so the returns increasingly are matching the S&P 500. So you kind of get the best of all worlds. And in this case, now it just becomes a matter of finding the fund that you like. Are there any particular industries you would like to avoid?
Oil, like big oil companies, the big day-to-day living type companies that do a lot of testing on animals.
Okay.
Personally, I don't buy those products, you know, for ethical reasons. And, you know, I'm a little unnerved when I see those are the only options in the mutual funds that I'm getting from my advisor. So,
and in a sense, Jamie, you're doing exactly what Warren Buffett would tell you to do, and that is buy companies whose products you use. I've always thought that made a lot of sense. It made me feel like my money was going into something that I actually understood. And I think that's an important as an investor. But that said, you do want to maximize your investments. And we live in a complicated world. So, for example, you might not want to invest in an Exxon or a Chevron. On the other hand, those companies do put money into solar power, wind power, alternative energy, albeit maybe not as much as you'd like, but they do that. And so it becomes a little trickier now when you try and parse your investments, because are you denying those funds to those companies for the purposes that you like? Moreover, are you denying your portfolio access to the potential returns that a broader investment can give you? That's where SRI investing becomes a little tricky. So here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Go on to Google. Do a search for socially responsible investing. You're going to find a whole bunch of sites that'll come up, including some nonprofits that actually have great tools for comparing different SRI funds to show you not just what's in them, but also their returns on an annual basis so you can make an informed decision. I would advise you to be just a little open-minded about some of these companies, because even though they do things on the one hand you might not like, they might also be doing things on the other hand that you do. So do your homework. You buy that?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, Jamie, do some good. Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks.
Our next question is coming from Tristan in San Francisco, my old stomping grounds. Hi, Tristan.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. So how are things in the Bay Area?
So far, so good.
What do you do?
I'm a teacher here at a public school.
I have so much respect for teachers who just, you know, they go the extra mile, even when the whole system is conspiring to make it hard. So
that's how it feels sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, big props. All right, Tristan, what's your question?
When I started teaching about 6 years ago, I set up a 403B plan and started making deductions, and I haven't really thought about it a lot since. And then recently I got a letter from my school district saying that they were going to start instituting or whatever company they use to administrate it, going to start a monthly fee of $3 for anybody that's doing the salary deduction. I'm only contributing about $250 a month to that, so it's effectively like a 1% fee on the money that's going into that. So my question is this a time that I need to go find another provider, or is that small enough that it's not going to make a big chunk? And I'm just sort of fearful of having to go out and wade through prospectuses again.
That's a good question. You're not alone. First of all, that's a fine how do you do, isn't it? When they impose a management fee on your retirement fund. And for everybody playing along at home, basically what this is, it's a managed fund. They've got some guy or some woman who's calling the shots, quarterbacking the fund, moving in and out of different stocks. Okay, I get that. And since it's a retirement fund, you don't want to be locked into any one thing, perhaps. You want to keep your portfolio a little more nimble. On the other hand, management fees add up so quick, and it's just the easiest way to put a hole in your pocket when it comes to your retirement planning, because you're paying the salary of this person. And the dirty little secret of the investing world is that most managed funds do not outperform the index funds like the S&P 500. So it kind of raises a big question about, are you getting your money's worth? And my question for you, Tristan, is, do you have a choice? Does your provider give you the option of getting into a different fund, or are you locked into this one?
What I have a choice of is to move to a different provider than TIAA-CREF. The fee is being paid by some providers that the district works with, instead of their individual investors paying that. So I have the option of, starting a fund with a separate provider and possibly rolling over if I'd like to.
So right now, as a teacher, TIAA-CREF is clearly, you know, the home team. I mean, that's who you've been dealing with all along. If you go to a different fund provider, severing your tie with TIAA-CREF, what does that do to you?
There's no rollover fee.
Okay.
So I can do that pretty easily. It's mainly the thing I'm fearful of is the headache of trying to find somebody that... And doing my homework, you know.
All right. Well, homework should never be a deterrent, and that applies to you and to everybody. If you want to be a smart steward of your money, you got to do the homework. Otherwise, you're always going to be behind the eight ball. You're never going to be on top of your game. I mean, think of the big money guys out there on Wall Street. They're just not sitting back and waiting for the profits to roll in. They're out there every day going over the paperwork, crunching the numbers, trying to stay ahead of the curve. Now, you don't have to work that hard. But you do need to be on top of your money, and there's one big reason for that. It's your money. If you don't do it, nobody will. There's so many tools online, whether you're going with Fidelity or Vanguard or Schwab or anybody. They've all got websites that are like Swiss Army knives at this point. They've got everything you could possibly want out there except a magnifying glass. And on top of that, by rolling up your sleeves and looking at how the funds are doing, you're going to become smarter about how your money's performing. So when you have to make changes, you're not going to be so surprised. So that shouldn't be a deterrent. My feeling in your situation is if there's no downside whatsoever to moving away from the current fund provider and go finding another one, then I would say do it, because management fees, it's just money down the drain. I mean, yeah, some of those fees are justified, but at 1.5%, you could probably do better, let's face it. And that's your retirement you're playing with, quite simply.
All right. That gives me some courage to go out there and do that research.
Good. And courage is exactly what's needed frequently when we have to make these tough calls. And it's not hard. And that's really what I want to emphasize to everybody. It sounds difficult. It sounds like you've got to be Bill Gates or Warren Buffett to do this stuff. You don't. So, Tristan, thank you so much for the call.
Great. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's move on. Our next caller is Carol, calling from right here in L.A. Hi, Carol.
Hi, David.
Hi. So what do you do?
Well, I am an independent filmmaker and a freelance contract attorney, and I'm segueing out of freelance contract attorney, which is part of why I'm calling today.
Okay, hang on. I got to dial that one back a little bit. You're an independent filmmaker and a contract attorney.
Yes.
So you went through all the hassle of law school, got out of law school, and said, you know what I want to do? I want to make films.
Well, you know, I wish you had been around when I was walking in the doors of the law school. For 20 years, I've been trying to make the legal career work, and my heart's not in it, and it's not working out, so it's time to move on.
So, Allie McBeal, you're not.
No.
All right. So it is time to move on. All right. So what can we do to help?
Well, on paper, I qualify to file for bankruptcy. In fact, I have qualified since I got laid off. I wasn't always a contract attorney, but I got laid off at the beginning of the recession. And you know, the recession was very, very bad for a long time in California. I've been fighting filing for bankruptcy because it's just not something I'm comfortable with. But now that I have to rework my legal career, and I can go into doing some admin work in the legal field, and I have good skills, so I'm pretty sure that I can get a position, but I'm probably looking at a smaller salary, which means I may not have any choice anymore about whether to declare bankruptcy. But my question for you is, at what point does fighting off bankruptcy become really foolish as opposed to being something noble?
So you're basically picking the high road here. You want to be honorable. You want to meet your obligations. And you see bankruptcy as a shirking of that.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Your first thing you've got to think about is the stigma of bankruptcy, which may be applied during the Bailey Building and Loan era, isn't really a going concern anymore. I mean, it's almost a fashion trend at this point. After this economy, people are doing it. The whole idea of a bankruptcy isn't to punish you. The idea of a bankruptcy is to give you a second chance. That's what the system is about. So any stigma that you feel is attached to it, just throw that out the window. Now, this idea that you want to be a good, upstanding citizen and meet your obligations, that's great. That's terrific. But at some point, you got to cut your losses, even if you didn't during law school. So what I would say is, okay, then at some point, when it makes the most fiscal sense, that's what you got to do. Carol, here's what I think your most important concern is. How are you doing for retirement? Are you planning?
I knew you were going to get to that. No. No, and I'm in my early 50s, and that's my big concern is I have no plans for retirement. And I listen to the program regularly, and I hear that it's not a lost cause at my age, but that's actually kind of why I called to get some moral support, because I think that that's one of the big reasons why I have to make to go forward with this and stop thinking of the stigma like you're talking about.
Consider yourself morally supported. The retirement plan is the big dog in your life, especially if you're over the seeming halfway mark and you're into your 50s now. You need to be focused on this. If a bankruptcy clears the deck and helps you start allocating funds for that, great. Now, obviously, bankruptcy, you know, there's some hits. Your credit score is going to get smacked upside the head. You're going to become persona non grata with creditors for a while, but you'll work through that. Here's my advice. Go look into what's known as SEP IRAs, S-E-P IRAs. These are retirement funds, and they are perfect for freelancers like yourself. They will allow you to put in money up to a cap of $50,000 a year or so. And I'm guessing you don't have $50,000 to put in on an annual basis, so that's not going to be an issue. And you'll be able to start making some tax-free investments in your future, and that's exactly where you want to be. You feel morally supported now?
I do.
All right, Carol, I wish you the best of luck. Keep your eye on the bigger picture, and that'll get you through this, okay?
Thanks, David.
All right, thank you for calling in. That's about all the time we've got now for all of you meeps out there. Yeah, that's our money peeps, new term that I'm coining. If you have any questions, it is easy to get in touch with us. All you got to do is go to marketplace.org and submit your letter. That's also a place where you can comment on the show as much as your heart can content. So if you've got better advice than I have, and you just might, feel free to chime in yourself at marketplace.org.